Welcome to Yo 11 Minutes, mostly Vegas, no BS casino experience and more. I'm Michael Movestro. Michael Traeger is out this week and will return next week unless he has a run-in with the infamous Florida man. This is part two of a look back at Las Vegas during the pandemic shutdown of 2020. I am fortunate enough to be joined by a Vegas friend and writing legend who writes about Las Vegas casinos and the gaming industry. His writing portfolio includes work for Travelzork, EdgeVegas.com, The Lines, Play USA, Play Nevada, Legal Sports Report, Travel Vegas, Front Desk Tip, Vegas Chatter, A Partridge in a Pear Tree, and more. Mark Meltzer, welcome to the show.
Happy to be here.
It's good to have you on. I remember when I used to read your writings for many places, but particularly Vegas Chatter. Back in the day, you were part of the Vegas Chatter crew, and I always looked forward to seeing your articles, and you always provided such great information, and I really enjoyed your writing. And so then Edge Vegas happened, and like you just write everywhere. It's like you're the everywhere writing man. It's a different industry now because we don't get as many blogs as we used to get, you know. But it's good that you're still doing your thing. And I'm glad that you are on the show. As you know, I'm doing this thing this week where we're looking back at the pandemic shutdown of 2020 in Vegas. Yesterday I shared my experience. I was visiting here when everything happened. I was here from the 15th to the 18th. Who can forget that St. Patrick's Day, right? What a weird St. Patrick's Day that was. When the governor at the time got on and gave his announcement, everything is closing at midnight. Y'all need to go home. And that was that. Casino shutting down. El Cortez didn't even have like built-in locks. They used chains and locks. Places that were never designed to shut down had to think of a way to shut down. And then midnight happens, everything is officially closed, Fremont, everything, it's all done with. March 18th, that morning, I had maybe 3 hours of sleep, got up, jumped on a plane, headed back to Arizona to just get on with whatever was going to be going on. Going back in time for you, March 17th, that St. Patrick's Day, what was that? What was that like in your perspective?
Honestly, I have no memory of the day specifically, as far as it goes with St. Patrick's Day. For me, what I remember in that time was, I remember exactly where I was when the NBA shut down. I was at the local Starbucks at the time. I remember going to Red Rock Casino the day before casinos were shut down, because I heard rumors that it would be shut down. It was a very strange feeling to be in a casino with social distancing, you know, with the three chairs at the table games and every other slot machine turned off. And then other than that, for me, I was sort of forced to pay attention to local politics for the first time ever since moving to Las Vegas. So it was a very weird time. My goals are to not be involved with politics as much as possible. But you know what? I had access to information people wanted. And, you know, as you mentioned, there were tons of outlets that were looking for that information, whether it be from somebody on the street or somebody that's, you know, that's plugged into the government a little bit more closely than I am. It was just a very strange time. And at the time, most of my writing was around sports betting. So it was a super duper interesting time to cover casinos when they were closed and then, you know, as they reopened.
So let's go to the morning of March 18th. It's the day after the governor made his announcement. Everything is closing at midnight tonight. Now it's, you know, the next morning. What do you remember about that?
I feel like my memory was like, holy shit, what are we going to do now? Then trying to understand exactly how the protocols were working, because not every business was the same. Some businesses were essential, some weren't. What the differences were for me personally, what the differences might be for somebody, you know, that actually wanted to travel to Las Vegas and experience this different environment. So it was trying to understand what people could do, what they couldn't do, what I could do, what I couldn't do, where I could go. Going from there, that was the first day of kind of a lot of confusion, but thankfully, knock on table, you know, we were able to keep sports betting alive because of the mobile aspect of it for work. And, you know, as friends were, as I could tell, friends were kind of freaking out, starting to freak out. And then that would escalate as the shutdowns went on around the country. But being in Las Vegas, you know, this is a great time of the year. And I was able to explore. And one of my first thoughts were like, I did not have to go into casinos for a little while, which was both refreshing and also scary, because most of my life until then, since I moved here, was working out of casinos a few days a week just for fun and just because they had Wi-Fi and coffee and a little bit of gambling if I wanted to enjoy some of that, or just watch the games on TV if there were baseball day games, which I love.
Yeah, you always have the coolest, like, you could choose your own office. So it's like you'll on Twitter or X now, like, you'd be like, oh, I'm over here today. No, now I'm over there. And like, I remember you were at a DuPars location after the DuPars location closed downtown. And I was quite envious because you were still able to enjoy them pancakes. But I've always admired how you get to just sort of choose your own office. What do you remember as a local?
You know, it's...
Oh, no, go ahead.
Sorry, I was going to say one of the perks of being a freelancer is being able to work wherever you want and sort of when you want to, which is nice.
Yeah, I gotta look into that. Really do. Anyways, as a local, what are some of the changes that you saw happening in your city? What was the going shopping experience like? Like, what were some of the things that you saw were progressively changing?
It was an incredibly strange time. I remember the pandemic started with people, you know, wiping their groceries when they came in. I did for a couple weeks. I ordered delivery of groceries because I was like, I don't really know what the vibe is in the supermarkets. If somebody's willing to bring me food, let me have them just drop it off for me. So I paid a little bit more money just to deal with that. But, you know, not everybody had that option. And it was a very strange thing going into the supermarkets at the time, because that's sort of a melting pot of Las Vegas. You have everybody from every income to every ethnicity and different opinions about things. And you really got to see the true colors of people, you know, for better and worse. But for me, outside of that, you know, going to local businesses that I liked and supporting them in their time, because some of the essential businesses, like my favorite coffee shop, Samba Latte, which I now live a little bit farther away from, but I went there as often as possible just to give them, you know, a few bucks and to give a tip to the people that were working there. And I just made sure to stop off at places like that, Abel Baker Brewing for beer, supporting local businesses. I thought that was important because I wanted to help them and make sure that they are still around. And knock on table, you know, they're all still around. They made it through the tough times, and they're still rocking. It was definitely weird. I did a lot of not introspection, but because I couldn't go anywhere, I was sort of not really confined to myself, but I was able to focus a little more on myself. I lost a whole bunch of weight during that because I couldn't go out and gorge myself on delicious casino food. You know, the restaurants were all closed, you know, so, you know, me making some baked chicken, you know, and eating brown rice every night, not only did it get a little tiresome, but it definitely helped lose a little weight. I got out and, because even though I can work anywhere, I was sort of forced to work from home because the businesses weren't open. The Dunkin' Donuts that I live nearby, the Starbucks, they were only for walk-in or drive-through. to pick up your coffee, so you couldn't sit there and actually bang away on a keyboard. And same thing with Samba Latte. So I couldn't go to Red Rock to work in their food court for a little while. So it was a lot of changing things. And for me, I did a daily coffee walk. I would go to a coffee shop, again, Samba Latte or even Dunkin' or Starbucks if I wanted cold brew, because their cold brews are a little bit better than the Samba Latte iced coffee. But I would go out and go for a walk for an hour. And it's something that, you know, gave me an excuse to explore the more localized parts of Las Vegas that, as somebody that covers the casino business, didn't really work into my life as it would for a normal Las Vegas resident, I think.
When you were there and you were watching, you know, you just, you know, like you said, everything was changing. Did you develop an Amazon addiction like most people did? When I say most people, I mean me.
Nope.
Okay, good on you. Good on you. I sure as fucked it. Anyways, amazing the things you can find on Amazon that you never knew you wanted. So you have nothing to do.
I definitely did not do that. I did watch a lot more TV shows than I ever would because there was no lack of sports. So for me, that was a real big change in entertainment preferences. And that was probably the biggest change of my life, was not going to casinos to gamble and not watching sports.
So that seems like it was like a big life change. Personally, I don't do well with life changes. Like, it takes me a while to adjust to whatever. They were using the term the new normal at the time, right? It was like, this is how we're getting by in the new normal. I remember that being a thing. Then again, I went
the new normal.
Yeah,
I remember that new normal very well, because that's sort of how I live my life. Social distancing, trying to not be too close to people. So really, it was like, to me, it was more like the rest of the world coming closer to the way I live my life, which was either good or bad, depending on how you look at it.
Yeah. And it seemed like it went on forever. Like, you know, it's like, I remember during the pandemic, I couldn't go to Vegas, even when Vegas reopened. I couldn't exactly go back yet because of the person I was with at the time was very high risk. So it just wouldn't have been a good idea. But I remember just thinking, like, man, wouldn't it be great to, like, you know, things get back to normal, like the little things that and moments that, you know, one takes for granted, like you, for example, going to, like, Mandalay Bay or some restaurant, taking a picture of a statue and putting like a sticky face emoji on its head, you know, things like that. Things just do for fun. And it was just like, you know, like those, all those things, like, you know, they were just not. It just couldn't happen anymore, really. But during that time period, before Vegas reopened, and, you know, when things were, you know, I'm sure the news was full every day of, like, here is another view of the Strip with absolutely no people on it. Because, you know, they loved getting that, like, shock of an empty Las Vegas Strip and empty downtown and stuff like that. What was it that during that time, what was it that gave you hope?
I am a pretty positive person, so there was never I never felt any personal negative energy from the shutdown, from anything. It was very strange for me to have such a positive outlook, because I was still working. I could still do pretty much whatever I wanted to do with my life. You know, and as businesses slowly reopened, I was able to get a little bit more back to normal. So I never really had that despair that some of my friends had in New York City, for example, you know, where they were stuck inside of a, you know, 1,000-square-foot apartment at the largest with nowhere to go. You know, they could maybe go to their rooftop, which, not very exciting, but walking around the city wasn't something people were doing very often back then. So it was really, I felt it was in my best interest for everyone I know to just be a positive experience for everybody's life, and try to give them, as well as myself, you know, a little bit of hope. I never really felt down personally about how things were going down. Nothing really bothered me. If I had to wear a mask going in somewhere, I would wear a mask. And as long as I got to do whatever I needed to do, that's really what mattered to me. And I just made the experience work for me. So I was really had a, it was a good time of my life outside of a crippling insomnia that crawled up as everything sort of reopened. But I don't think that was related to the shutdown or anything like that.
When you said friends in New York City, and as you and I are both from New York City originally, and you said, you know, friends who had a 1,000 square foot apartment maximum, and I'm like, wow, your friends must be rich. 1,000 square feet compared to like, they're just so small there, and it just gets worse and worse, the apartment.
Yeah, Michael and I actually did. We were doing some bi-weekly, or he was doing a couple of times a week. I don't remember, but I remember we were on the a chat with somebody in a food stamp size apartment, you know, one of those 600 square foot places, and he was going stir crazy after just a couple of weeks. And I was just grateful that I could live in Las Vegas, where I could walk across the street from my apartment into a park, you know, and do a couple laps there and just enjoy the fresh air, because this is, right now is a great time to enjoy the great outdoors. The weather is starting to get warmer. It's the first day of spring. So it was coming up all golden for me, which again, when I look back at it and how friends had to deal with it, it was very different than the way a lot of my friends were dealing with it and what they had to deal with.
Yeah, I totally get that. So it's been 4 years now, right? Since, you know, everything reopened. It was slow going at first. I remember there was a long wait times for rideshare. A lot of rideshare people quit. They preferred delivering packages and delivering food instead of people. Can't blame them. The service industry, again, it looks like they had trouble hiring. When Vegas reopened, it seemed like there was a lot of trouble hiring, getting enough people, you know, to come in, and that it was a slow going at first. I remember that, but now having been 4 years,
it was a slow ramp up. I was going to say it was a slow ramp up. I remember one of my favorite local bars at the time going there, and they were just running through different employees. It seemed like every week, and they just couldn't keep a staff around. And eventually everybody pretty much quit, and they had to close the doors. And it's finally after, 2.5-3 years maybe, reopening now under different ownership. And it was a very, very trying time. And the employment thing is still an issue in Las Vegas, and where people have so many more different opportunities to earn money now, that it's still kind of difficult for these companies to find reliable employees. And I don't know when that'll ever change, where people now seem to have the advantage over the people hiring, where the future employees have a little bit more of a thumbs up ahead of the actual employers. Not everyone, but some people.
Mm. Since it's been, it was towards the end of 2020 when things started reopening. Well, yeah, things opened, then closed again, and then opened. It was a whole thing. But we're in 2024 now. And from then, 2020 to now, how would you say Vegas is doing?
I think Vegas is... It's a tale of two Vegases, and it's always been a tale of two Vegases. The corporations, the casino corporations, are doing gangbusters business. They learned a lot of tactics to save money during COVID, because they were able to weed out some of the expenses, such as buffets, for example, and bring in revenue generating parts to the casinos. You know, changing a money-losing buffet into a food hall that is going to make money because the companies are paying rent on that space. You definitely see that now. But that's only one way they learned. You know, they learned how to streamline the work for bartenders, for cocktail waitresses, for pretty much everything. And they learned that they were able to push prices up, and that certain people would say no and go away, but not a lot of people are going away, and there's still they're making record profits in the last quarter of 2023. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't seem like they're slowing down just yet. Boyd, for example, is one that looks like they might be hitting that point of no return on raising prices, because it looks like their customer base is starting to balk at price increases, constant price increases. But in general, it looks like everything's just more expensive now everywhere, whether you're in a casino or, you know, you're at the local coffee shop. Just everything is more expensive. Businesses are sort of back. A new coffee shop just opened a few miles away. We're having new casinos opening as though it was before COVID. That almost seems like a thing of the past and a thought in the past and something that rarely comes out of my mind anymore. And it's something that I hate that it's part of my lexicon now, but I use the phrase, I haven't been there since before COVID, way too often for my good, because as COVID happened, my habits in doing everything sort of changed. And a lot of that has stayed, unfortunately, or fortunately again.
So it does seem, from what I'm seeing out here, it does seem like, yeah, things are pretty much back to normal, but at a cost, right? Things are just ridiculously expensive. Like it's like you just going shopping. It's like I bought four things, you know, and it's like $32. I'm like, what is going on? The prices are crazy. That might be a whole separate thing, or inflation, or whatever the case.
That should definitely be a whole separate thing, because I paid $18 for one of the worst vodka sodas I've ever had at the Link at a casino bar. And after I paid for that and paid $20 for my friend's margarita, we went into a restaurant where I was able to get it for half the price almost. So it's just, pricing is out of control, but people are paying it. And if people are paying it, the casinos are just going to keep pushing the limits as far as they can. And so are the local businesses as well. So it's not just one business that's pushing the limits on that. And like you said, that's probably a discussion for another day and time.
More than likely. Before we get going, is there anything that you would like to plug?
No, just you can catch me pretty much on a weekly basis, obviously, at Travelzork. We do a biweekly. We do a Vegas news catch up, and then on the other weeks we do a topical item as Michael finds room in his busy schedule, gallivanting around the country, whether it's to Vegas, to Florida, to Massachusetts, whatever he's doing. So that's my Travelzork schedule. And then during the weekdays, I tend to have something published on PlayUSA. Unfortunately, PlayNevada is on break for now. Vegas Chatter, your old fave is long gone. Edge Vegas is my blog, which thankfully I don't have time to write on. So I pretty much just use that as an affiliate website, as a placeholder for, you know, if I ever need to find a home to blog or write, I can do that. But that's my schedule. You can catch me there. I still send regular updates on Twitter for the masses to see, whether it's something I'm covering for work-related items or just something that I think people are going to find interesting, or things in Las Vegas that I'm not even familiar with, like the coffee shop that I mentioned earlier. I think I don't even know what it's called. I have the name filed somewhere, but somebody went there and gave me some feedback on it, and I will definitely check it out probably tomorrow.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks for joining me, Mark. And that's going to do it for this episode. Luxury travel booking, Travelzork Travel. Visit us at travelzork.travel to plan your next amazing vacation, not just to Las Vegas, but anywhere in the world. And please join the conversation on social media. You can find us easily. All social platforms are at Travelzork. We'll see you next time.